So we, first of all, welcome everybody. Because of the configuration, we've had four shiurim already, but two of them have been on in Yom Kippur. So we had, I think, the first two on Chulin or Shchita were both, were actually on Parshas Bereishis and Noach. So we're actually up to, I guess, your question about the Chumash is a relevant question. So we were already ahead of the game. We discussed Bereishis and Noach. So what we discuss in the, there's so much more to discuss in all these topics, but we want to move on to the next thing. So what we've done so far is had a little bit of a hakdama about the history of eating, about, meat eating, if one could say, and a discussion about, the scope, nature, and significance, I guess, of the initial, what is generally accepted to be the initial isur of achilas basar al yedei Adam, as well as, going into next week's parsha, the change that took place in the aftermath of the Mabul, as well as how that affects the problem, the Isur of Eir Menachai that was decreed upon all Bnei Noach, and whether indeed that was a separate and independent Isur from the very beginning, Adam HaRishon, which is the way it sounds like in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, or whether or not that was really more about Achilas Basar, and the Isur of Eir Menachai is a remnant. It's what remains of that original Isur. And we discussed the various, the big question revolves around the big question, that is, what's the point of prohibiting Abram and Achai if you're not allowed to eat basar anyway? And we talked about four different perspectives on that issue, and which, have an important range in terms of, was Adam really prohibited from eating meat, or was he just prohibited from, eating meat, from an animal that was killed? And is the mechay of the killing, or is the mechay of the meat from a killed animal? And where do you draw the line in all of that? As well as the question that I just mentioned, namely the relationship to Abram and Achai, etc. It seems pretty clear that the mainstream view, at least, is that originally meat was not on a man's diet, and that changed in the time of Noah, and that too is interpreted in various different ways. Either, the default is that man is a carnivorous creature. He's allowed to eat meat, and he does eat meat. And the delay is for extraneous reasons. That's one view of the Radak. Or, on the contrary, things really changed in the relationship between man and animal, or man achieved a more elevated status in the aftermath of the Mabul, or man achieved a... there was a recognition that man's aspiration for spiritual greatness would have to be modified somewhat, and consequently there was no reason not to allow him, this license, given lowered expectations. So there's a wide range. Again, we don't need to go over everything, but in the two shiurim that we had, we were trying to explain this question. And of course, this is extremely relevant to the concept of Shechita and everything that goes along with it, because Shechita is the basis for us for the heter of achilas basar. So the more we think that achilas basar, was, and in some respects conceptually at least remains, something that is problematic or could be problematic, the more we need to look at Shechita as not only something which technically allows us to eat basar, but not only a heter or a matir per se, but a matir by virtue of the institution of Shechita itself. There's something about Shechita that is matir, and if Shechita is not matir, then you're back almost to square one. Certainly, maybe with Avram and Achai, if there's some aspect of that, or Nevela, etc. So these are things that we need to think about. Which leads us to our topic today. There's a lot in between that we're skipping, but and that is, so you know, pre-Mabel and post-Mabel, you know, pre-Matan Torah, you know, is all very good. I'm suggesting that it isn't just remote, interesting history, but conceptually and maybe even technically, halachically, it's significant. But obviously a far greater significance is a post, you know, I would say is, you know, the you know, Jewish history, which begins with Avraham Avinu. It's interesting that the term Shechita and the institution of Shechita makes two appearances even before Matan Torah, mostly, and that is one in the context of the Akedah, where that's described as a Shechita of Yitzhak. It doesn't happen in the end, right? But that's what Avraham prepares to do. That's considered the ultimate act of surrender to divine will. That's the ultimate act of Yirah Shamayim, maybe Avas Hashem as well, according to the Drashas Haran. So it's fascinating that in that context, the Torah uses the expression of Shechita, maybe in a very significant way. The Chazal think that it would have been, and in some respect even was, you know, a kind of a karban. Again, we remember it when we, you know, or we remind the Rabbanu Shalom of it when we need zchuyos, you know, including on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. So the use of the term Shechita in that context, in terms of korban, and something which establishes man's capacity for avodas Hashem, is perhaps not a coincidence. In the same way, or I should say in the opposite way, but in a parallel way, the term Shechita is used in the negative, you know, as a further, I guess, indictment of the brothers of Yosef when they, you know, do an act of Shechita. The Torah calls also that Shechita, you know, in order to trick, you know, Yaakov Avinu, you know, to manipulate him, as it were, so that he comes to his own conclusions, supposedly, you know, that Yosef, you know, has been killed by a wild animal. So to do that, they do an act of Shechita. So it's not, you know, enough. It's almost like, you know, everything that they've done, you know, is an affront, you know, to the institutions, you know, that we value, which is why Mechiras, again, this is completely separate and distinct from the question of why they did it, you know, what did they have something in mind, you know, but at the end of the day, even if we think that, you know, they thought he was a rodef and all the other things that are said, the svarno and other things, which clearly, I mean, obviously you have to say something like that, in the end of the day, Bechiras Yosef is considered to be something that is inexcusable. Chazal see it as a Bechia L'doros, as something that we continue to pay the price for. When they say that Asara Haruge Malchus is a response to Mechiras Yosef, you know, I think it's more than just punishment. It is punishment, but it's more than that. It's almost like what happened in Mechiras Yosef, you know, had a tremendous impact on the concept or the capacity of man for achzorius. If brothers, even under the guise of some sort of justification, could turn against each other or could turn against a brother in such a fashion, then you know, the ability that kind of, you know, extended the ability of human beings to exhibit cruelty, you know, even greater cruelty in circumstances where there's no justification. I think that's the real idea behind the Bechia L'doros of Mechiras Yosef. So the idea that in this context you take something which is matir, achilas basar, which is connected to violence, or it's, you know, it's why it isn't an act of violence, because maybe it's more humane or whatever it is. It's the sanctified way, you know, to make an animal, you know, acceptably, you know, food for a human being, and to take that, you know, and to employ it, you know, in the context of this achzorius activity against Yosef, but also against Yaakov, by extension, is, I think, part of the Isser. Anyways, that's basically where the term Shechita appears in the in the narrative part, let's say, for the Avos and so on. But of course, Shechita appears in the aftermath of Matan Torah and in the world of Halacha in the Torah itself. And first it appears in Shmos in the context of Shechitas Korban Pesach. It's interesting that Korban Pesach is described as Shechita, and the role of Shechita in Korban Pesach is again particularly significant. We'll get back to that a little bit later. Maybe we'll talk about it quickly now. This is the pasuk in Shemos in Parshas Bo. I'm sure we have it here somewhere. Yeah, this is on page 4. Page 4, lines 17 and 21. Torah says, "Vayalachem l'nishmeres ad arba asar yom lachodesh hazeh v'shachatu oso kol kahal adas Yisrael bein hor boyim." Okay, so that's a prominent use of the term shechita in the context of Korban Pesach. And then again, a few psukim later, right, and you have Vayikra Moshe kol zeknei Yisrael v'yomar lehem mishkam, says earlier actually, mishku kulachem tzon l'mishmachoseichem, I don't know why I put it in this order, v'shachatu ha-pasach. So shechita is used in conjunction with, what's fascinating is that the Rambam, whose position we'll discuss in a couple of minutes, the Rambam does not count shechita in the context of other korbanos as an independent mitzvah saseh in the minyan taryak. In other words, he does not count shechitas, chatas, ola, shlamim, asham, bechor, you know, meiser, behema, whatever it is. All these things are not counted. I mean, the categories are counted. You know, to bring a proper chatas, to bring a proper asham, to bring a proper ola. But the act of shechita, specifically, is not individually identified, you know, as part of the mitzvah, or as a separate mitzvah, in these contexts. The reason I'm telling you that is, this is in sharp contrast to the view of the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who does seem to count Shechitas Kadshim as a mitzvah. We'll get back to that. Oh. The Rambam does count Shechitas Chulin as a mitzvah. We'll get back to that in a minute as well. That's in his Minyan HaKatzar, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, and right in the beginning of the HaShechita. Three places, and the Koteret, so four places. In four different places, the Rambam makes perfectly clear that he thinks that Shechitas Chulin is a mitzvah. But Shechitas Kadshim, he doesn't count as a mitzvah. However, when it comes to Shechitas Korban Pesach, he does count it as a separate mitzvah. Shechitas Korban Pesach is counted. Again, there is some, in Sefer Mitzvos, there is some girsa question, you know, whether he, in Sefer Mitzvos, for some strange reason, the language, when it comes to Korban Pesach itself, doesn't say v'shachat, it says like, V'yasisa Korban Pesach, or something like that, or Avodas Korban Pesach. When it comes to Pesach Sheni, it says Shechitas Pesach Sheni. Strange. But in the Koteret, and in the body of Hilchos Korban Pesach, the Rambam is perfectly explicit that even when it comes to the Korban Pesach itself, he speaks about Shechitas HaPesach. And where does he get it from? From the language of the Torah itself, which emphasizes Shechitas HaPesach. Why is this significant? I mean, it's an interesting point. Why should the Rambam single out Shechita when it comes to Pesach more so than other korbanos? It could very well be, and this is maybe the reason that the Torah itself emphasizes it so much, that the role of Shechita in Korban Pesach is singular. This is indicated by a few things. The Gemara says in Masechet Kiddushin, the beginning of the second parak, Gemara is looking for a source to teach you the din of shlichus, shuach shlichus shel adam kimosa. That part of Kiddushin, I think, a long time ago, but this year we actually learned. The Gemara wants to know what's the source of shlichus. They look to trumos, they look to gittin, right? And one of the places they look to is Korban Pesach, based on the pasuk that we have here, v'shachatu oso kol kahal adas Yisrael ben arboim. After all, as we all know, every individual doesn't do a shechita in Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach was eaten in chaburas, right? It was it was a minui on the people signed up, whether it was families or others, you know, the Pesach programs, you know, I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, they signed up to be part of the Korban Pesach. So it's not true that each, it says v'shachatu, oh, so kol kahal adas Yisrael bein arabayim. It's not true. So the Gemara says, well, it is true because it's a makar for shluchal shel adam kimosa. Okay, interesting. Moreover, so it sounds like on some level shechita belongs to every member of Klal. I don't say that about zrika or holacha or kabbalah sadam or haktara. Right, what does that mean? So even though practically it isn't true, but conceptually it kind of is true through shluchos shalom kamosa. Moreover, to be counted, you know, in a chabura, like what is the, it says tachosu alase, right? What is that? So the Gemara, the Mishnayos and the Gemaras in Tzachim explain that shechitas haPesach is the critical moment for being nimna betocha chabura, right? So once again, shechita plays, tachosu actually means, the word tachosu means shechita. Very fascinating. Moreover, as Rashi points out, it seems like, you know, while in most korbanos, the focus in terms of certain required, you know, lishmas, certainly, is also, or maybe even more so, zrika sadam, which is the source in a korban of kapara, more so than any of the other avodos. When it comes to korban pesach, the shechita plays a much greater role than the zrika, and some of the lishmas, l'shem, you know, mulim, v'lo l'shem arelim, and so on and so forth, they focus not on the zrika, or in some cases, depending on which Rishonim, not exclusively on the zrika, but also on the shechita. And the question is, why? Why is it that the shechita is so much more prominent in Korban Pesach than it is in other korbanos, and why is it more prominent than the other avodos within Korban Pesach? It's a strange phenomenon. Like, what is it about Korban Pesach and shechita? So partially the Mishnah, again, in Psachim, and the Rishonim elaborate, explain, and that is that there's some question whether there's any element of kapara when it comes to the korban of shechitas Pesach. Right? But if there is some element of kapara, it's minor. The focus in korban Pesach is on achila. Ikaro l'achila asa. And therefore the shechita part, rather than the zrika part, which is about kapara, is more central. Meaning, when the Rambam decided, you know, that shechita, you know, is a detail, you know, in other kodshim, but it's a independent mitzvah in the context of Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, and what I'm trying to explain is that the dinim, the language of the psukim, and the dinim of the Mishnah and the Gemaras and Psachim seem to reinforce this decision, namely that Shechita's role is more prominent in Pesach than in other karbanos. Now, if you ask me, there may be another element, and that is that the whole yisod of the korban of Korban Pesach, as we've explained it other times, is that it's about emunah. It's Achi Yishpatu Eloheim Li'eneim. It was the ability, right, to really defy the culture of Mitzrayim, you know, and to stand in the face of their Avodah Zarah and to do Shechita HaPesach. So the Shechita has a special role, and I don't think it's a coincidence, given the role that Shechita generally has. So in Korban Pesach, at least, Shechita plays a very, very prominent role. The other place, you had a question?
No, I just was going to add that second point. It was against the Ambulatory.
Yeah, 100%.
Sorry, the Egyptians. It was
so,
in defiance of.
We're actually on the same page. We're agreeing.
Yeah, the mazel was in Tulet.
What?
Because the mazel was.
Yeah. So we're.
We're on the same page.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I mean, I'm sure it won't happen too often. But when it happens, we have to stop and pause and reflect on it. Okay. So that's one very prominent place, and I'd say the Shechita is very, very significant there. The other place, of course, is in general Kodshim, where Shechita also appears, and that is in Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Hey. That's the same page, which is page number 4. And line number 11, or 13 actually, where it's V'shachat as ben abakar lifnei Hashem, right? You should do the shechita. V'hikrivo bnei Aaron hakohanim es adam v'zarko es adam, right? Alam is beach saviv asher pesach ohel moed. So this is right in the beginning of Torah's Kohanim of Sefer Vayikra. Right in the beginning, we're reading about the first of the, you know, categories of korbanos, ola, and well, the first thing we're told about it is v'shachat es ben abakar. So this is an interesting issue, and that is the role of shechita in regular korbanos. On the one hand, the prominence of shechita again is you know, undeniable. Korbanos are sometimes called zvachim, right? And v'zavachta is a synonym for v'shachatata. A zevach is something that requires shechita. Right? We talk about an animal korban as opposed to a mincha, we call it a zevach, but the word zevach actually refers to shechita. So the thing that is shechted, you know, that implies what? The role, the prominent role of shechita in korbanos, or it's to differentiate, it's the first step in the process, it's what takes a live animal and turns it into a chefza shel, actual korban, as opposed to being, you know, omed le korban, or it's a korban, but now it's a chefza shel kedusha. Hard to know, but certainly the fact that it is the first of the four avodos, and it requires lishma, it has the ability, you know, to generate kind of pigol, projects. Again, if you compare, this is the thing to do, shechita and zrika, there are four avodos in every real korban, or the four formal avodos, anyway. And that is shechita, kabbalah, holacha, zrika. And certainly, of the four, the ones that are most prominent, you know, is the first and the fourth. It's the shechita and the zrika. Obviously, the kabbalah and the holacha, you know, are lesser avodos. And there is some sort of a competition. I mentioned Korban Pesach, but, you know, in regular korbanos, the zrika is, when you talk about pigol, the ikar zrika, it's fascinating. Rambam aside, the evidence in the Gemara, in Tzvachim, and in Psachim, is that the psul, or the pagam in Kodshim of Shinui Bailim, like if you shechte korban chatas, in the name of the wrong owner, or you bring a korbanola in the name of the wrong owner, that's called not lo lishma of Shinui Zevach, but lo lishma of Shinui Bailim. So, again, I apologize if these concepts are not so familiar, but I'm just trying to make the bigger point with them. And that is that when it comes to Shinui Bailim, as opposed to Shinui Kodesh, a lack of lishma, and like, oh, I'm bringing a chatas, but, you know, I think, or I'm focusing on it as if it's an ola. It's called Shinui Zevach, if you will. Shinui, korban. But if I say, this is Reuven's korban, but I'm bringing it as if it's Shimon's korban, meaning the Kohen is doing the avoda, that's called Shinui Bailim. Okay. So the simple evidence in the Gemaras is that Shinui Bailim, as opposed to Shinui Kodesh, only applies to Zrika. Because the Zrika part, the Zrika Satam, is the kapara of the Bailim. Now, of course, that's a little bit tricky, so let me explain what I mean. What that means is that if you want to, well, we don't want you to do this, but if you bring this korban shelo lishma improperly, right, you have to be thinking that you're going to be zorek, right, l'shem Shimon, even though it's Reuven's korban. Okay, the simple reading of these sources: if you just have in mind that you're going to be shochet, Shimon, Reuven's korban for Shimon, right, that's not called shinui bailim. But if you have in mind that you're going to be zorek, Reuven's korban for Shimon, or that you're going to be shochet Reuven's korban with the intention of being zoreken at the right time, l'shem Shimon, that's called shinui bailim. Okay, so why am I telling you this? What's fascinating is that the Rambam, of all people, basically, the question is, where did he get it from? But the Rambam in Hilchos Psula Mukdashim basically ignores these Gemaras, or obviously felt that these Gemaras were overridden by subtleties in other Gemaras, that apparently he thinks conflict with them. The Rambam's view is that we treat Shechita like Zrika, even when it comes to Shinui Bailim, even though it's against several explicit Gemaras. The point I'm trying to make is that Shechita's role in regular Kodshim is dialectical. On the one hand, we call it a Zevach. It's the first of the Dalet Avodos. In some things, it's very prominent. It's the most prominent. And in other things, there's a debate. There's a debate about the role of Shechita. Okay, we'll get back to it. Either way, the Rambam didn't count Shechita outside of Korban Pesach as a separate minyan. Well, let me say a little bit further. On the one hand, Shechita is the name of the Korban, Zevach. It's the first of the Dalet Avodos with all of these consequences. But of course, the biggest thing, which I almost left out, to say about Shechita on the other side of the ledger is that Shechita's Kodshim, as opposed to the other three Avodos, even Kabbalah and Holacha, and certainly Zrika, is Kshera Bizar. You don't need a Kohen to do the Shechita. It's Kshera other Psulim as well. An Onain, Isha normally can't do Avodas Kodshim, but Shechita is Kshera Bizar, Isha. It seems like even Korban Pesach. That's a good question. It seems like even Korban Pesach.
Make an argument.
And of course, the Gemara uses the expression at some point, even though Shechita is considered one of the four Avodos, but they also use the expression Shechita Eina Avoda. And then the Rishonim say, well, what you mean by that is it's Kshera Bizar. And others say, no, that's not what we mean. What we mean is, and this is fascinating, is that Shechita also applies to Chulin. It's Muteras Bechutz. How can it be an Avoda? So the one hand, there's evidence that Shechita is very prominent, even more so in Korban Pesach, but even in regular Korban. On the other hand, it seems to be the most secular, if you will, of the Avodos. And in some cases, we don't even call it an Avoda. Oh. Is that one of the reasons Ram didn't count it? Although he did count it in Korban Pesach. We'll get to it. Yeah.
Very simple argument that the Shechita Korban Pesach had a positive value. According to the Rambam, the Shechita of all the other of Kodshim and whatever the Korbanos that were brought had a negative value because it was only the two.
Oh, you mean like Mornavuchen?
Rambam that they.
Mornavuchen.
Yeah, Mornavuchen. They couldn't tear themselves away from
right.
their heathen practices. So the Rabbanu Shalom says, okay, Shechita. shechita.
Right, but that's true for karbanos. It's not true for shechita only.
But I'm saying that's so why shechita itself is not positive value.
Okay, I hear. But I'm not so, you know, I guess it's, I'm not so enamored of that, either was the Ramban of that particular part of book. What?
Even a partial concession is worth something.
Yeah, yeah, I hear. Okay, so this is an interesting, I'll tell you what my own theory is, because, you know, we're all, you know, we're among friends, right, so we're not hiding things, and that is that the Ramban really holds, and that's kind of why I'm presenting it this way, is that the Rambam thinks that, and I think there's some evidence, we'll see some evidence in just another minute, that Shechitas Chulin really comes from the world of Kach. But by virtue of that, you know, it downgrades the role of Shechita and Kachim, even as it upgrades, you know, the Heter of Achilas Basar Chulin by virtue of taking something from that world. And that's really what it is. And that's why he counts Shechitas Chulin because of its connection to Kachim, ironically, even though in Kachim itself, he, again, doesn't count Tzrika separately either. But the point is, with the exception of Korban Pesach, which, as I say, has its own special reasoning. So that's what I think is happening. So why do I say that? So let's get now to, so far we've discussed a little bit, you know, the history of Shechita, Avram and Noach. And then we talked a little bit about Yitzchak and, you know, and Yosef. And then I talked about in the world of Kachim two examples. You know, Shechitas Kachim generally, which is complicated, and Shechitas Korban Pesach, which clearly is even more central. Right? So now what about Shechitas Chulin, which is what our topic is. Right? Basar Taiva, some people call it. You know, meaning food that you want to eat because you just are hungry, or you have a, you know, you have a yearning to eat this stuff. So what about that? So where does that come from? What, you know, what's the makar for that? And, you know, that might be very instructive, you know, either the context or the language, you know, might help us to, you know, understand better, you know, what it is that's happening here. So, the parsha for that is the parsha in Devarim, Perek Yud-Beis. I'm sorry, Devarim. Yeah, Perek Yud-Beis. Good, correct. So, what's fascinating is that the parsha is about the Mikdash. You know, and it's like that. Also, this is another parsha that we have to go back to at some point, which we have in the beginning. Mar Makomos here. First few pages. Notice that these pages begin with Vayikra, you know, Perek Yud Zayin. That's the parsha of Shkutei Chutz, okay, and Kisui Adam. So we'll get back to that, I think, a little bit. But you're not allowed to shecht the korban right outside, you know, of the Beis Hamikdash. That's what that parsha is about. Okay. There's a special din of Shkutei Chutz, even more than Halos Chutz. There are special elements to it. But let's leave that for the moment. But the Parsha in Devarim also starts with line 25, V'haya mokom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem l'shaken shemo sham, shama taviyu eskol asher nochim etzave eschem, oloseichem v'zivcheichem asroseichem v'trumas yedchem, v'kol mivchar nidrechem asher tidru la'ashem. Meaning, the context of the parsha is the requirement to bring korbanos to the Beis Hamikdash and only to the Beis Hamikdash. Usmachtem b'fnei Hashem Elokeichem atem u'bneichem b'nosechem avdechem avdechem amoseichem halevi asher b'sharechem ki ein lo chelek b'nachal ha'itchem yisham lecha pentala olosechem b'chol mokom asher tireh. Once again, like the parsha in Vayikra, this is a warning against shchutei or karbanos b'chutz, right? Don't bring halah b'chutz, don't bring your karbanos anywhere other than the Beis HaMikdash. Ki im b'makom asher yivcha Hashem echad shvatecha, shom tale alosecha, shom tase kol asher nochi mitzaveka. Right? Only in the Mikdash. So what's the context? Kadshim. Then we're told, rak, b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'achalta basar. However, or only, b'chol avas nafshecha is the language of taiva. Like, you know, if you just have a craving, I guess, right? If any time you have a craving, tizbach v'achalta, shecht and eat, right? Ki birchas Hashem elokecha shenasamach b'chol she'arecha, even outside the mikdash, hatame v'hatahar yochalenu katzvivecha ayal. You don't have to be tahar, unlike kadshim, and you can eat it like you can eat a tzviva ayal. Tzviva ayal are never korban, so you can eat them, you don't have to worry about tumah, etc. Sounds like we're talking about basar taiva. I mean, kalas nafshka. Certainly we're talking about, we're not talking about korban, a proper korban, that can only be eaten the best. That's for sure. Okay. But it is in the context, we'll see in a moment, that there's a machlokas how to read, or what this pasuk is about. I'll explain in a second. Might as well just go through the psukim. Rak adam lo toch lu ala ares tishpechenu kamayim. You know, again, the rak implies not just that there's something to be careful about, but somehow maybe the dam is like a remnant of the Isur, what would have been an Isur. There's a heter b'achilas basra, yidei shchita v'zavakta for basra taiva, but it doesn't extend to dam. It reminds us a little bit about, you know, about a little bit of the psukim in Noach that we were talking about, right? Lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha, Maisa de Gantcha Tiroshom Yitzarecha, Bekarcha Vitzanecha, Kolin Arecha Sher Tidor Vidit Fosecha, Utrumasiedcha. Now again, back to restrictions, things you cannot eat or do outside of the Mikdash. Kiyim Lefne Hashem Alokecha, Tochalene Bemokom Asher Yivcha Hashem Alokecha, Bo Atovincha Vitecha, Avcha Masam Levi Yosher Bishorecha, the Samachta Lefne Hashem Alokecha, Bechom Mishlach Yadecha. Shomer Lecha Pendat Tazoves HaLevi, Kol Yamecha, right, Al Admasecha, what that's doing here is not for now. Then comes a whole additional cluster of psukim, right, starting from one on the next page on page five. They sound an awful lot like pasuk, what was it, Tezvav? Was it Tezvav?
Yeah.
That we just read, right? Tezvav sounded like it was basar taiva. Certainly, it was something you're allowed to eat chutzal mikdash, and it definitely was b'chol avas nafshecha, and you're not to eat it b'tahara. Right? That was pasuk Tezvav. Now, look at pasuk Chaf. Ki archiv Hashem elokecha is gevulcha. When the Ribbono Shalom gives you wider borders, I mean, you move into Eretz Yisrael, and you're not going to no longer be, you know, hanging around the Mishkan all the time, because there are other places to be as well. Right? Kasher diber lach. Yamarta, and you're going to say, right, ochla basar, you know, ki sa'ave nafshecha lechal basar b'chal avas nafshecha tochal basar. You're going to say, I'm hungry, I have this craving, I really want meat, I want meat a lot. Like three times here, right? So the b'chal avas nafshecha tochal, you're allowed to, you know, fulfill your appetite and eat basar. Okay? So what's the difference between this and pasuk Tetzvah, right? Ki yirchak mimcha hamakom, again, instead of ki yarchiv, ki yirchak, right, when the distances are greater, asher yivcha Hashem elokecha lasum shmo sham, v'zavachta mibkarecha mitzonecha, then you can do zvicha, you can do shchita on your bakar and your tzon, keywords, asher os Hashem elokecha, which Hashem gave you, these are the keywords, kasher tzivisicha, as I commanded you, v'achalta b'sharecha b'chol avas nafshecha or nafshecha nafshecha, but as much as your you know desire you know motivates you. What is kasher tzivisicha? Sounds like there's another pasuk that says that outlines the din of shkitas basar taiva. It says kasher tzivisicha. What does that mean? Then again, continuation, right? Ah, kasher yochal or yachel es atzviva es vayal kein tochalenu hatameva hatahar yachdov yochalenu. Again, it sounds like very much like five psukim earlier, right? You can eat it not b'tahara like you eat it tzvi in an ayal, And again, Rak Chazak Lebilti Echol Adam, Ki Adamo Nefesh Lo Tocha Nefesh, Ima Basar Lo Tocha Lenu, Al Ha'aretz Tishbechenu, Kamoy. Lo Tocha Lenu, Lemayin Yitav Lecha, so many Azharos about the Dam, Yitav Lach, Lebanecha Achrecha, Kitasa Yosha Be'ini Hashem, Rak Kodshecha Asha Yilach, Unidarecha Tisa Vasa Lamakam Asha Yivcha Hashem. Now that we said twice, two different groups of psukim, that there is something you can eat outside of the mikdash, we're being told again, however, your kachim, your nadarim, that requires the mikdash. Yasisa lo sacha basar v'adam al mizbach Hashem alokecha v'adam sochecha yishbach, or yishofek rather, al mizbach Hashem alokecha v'basar tochel shomar v'shamata eskal advarim ha'ele shanichim etzavcha man yitav l'chal banecha akarecha ad olam ki taseh tov ha'yashar b'nei Hashem alokecha. Puzzling. Right, there are three puzzles here. Right? One is, what is Pasuk Tezvav referring to? What is Pasuk Chav Aleph through Chav Gimel referring to? Or Chav Beis? Or Chav rather through Chav Beis referring to? Meaning it's a one puzzle, two puzzles. Meaning what's the relationship between these psukim that sound very similar? Okay? What's that one? What's this one? And what is Kasher Tzivisicha? Where is the Tzivisicha? We know the Tzivisicha of Kachim. There's one for Korban Pesach. There's one for regular Kachim. One for Korban Pesach in Parshas Bo. There's one for regular Kachim in Parshas Vayikra. Right? But where is the Tzivui of Achilas Basar Taiva? So we just need to know what these psukim mean.
Okay.
The Tzivui
is on the
Achad B'Sharecha.
If you want to eat, you have
to eat it B'Sharecha.
But is that Tzivui on the actual... You don't have to
eat B'Sharecha here means doesn't mean Mikdash.
You don't have to eat
B'Sar Taim. No, for sure you don't have to eat B'Sar Taim.
Okay, so...
But okay. Where does it... No, it sounds like it's a reference to the Shkita or the Dine Shkita, as we'll soon see. So it's V'Zavach B'Achad. How does it go?
So if you want to eat, you have to
chef. Kasher tzivisi, as I commanded you. Where does it? I'm saying when did the Rabbanu Shlomo command this? Where? Go show me the pasuk.
Did he say it in the previous pasuk?
No.
Did he say?
Oh, you mean the pasuk Tezvav?
Yeah.
No, we don't know what that is. Well, it depends what it is, though.
Okay, so that's.
Is that? Yeah, you're assuming they have the same thing. Okay, so the Ibn Ezra, do I have the Ibn Ezra here? No. The Ibn Ezra says that Pasuk Tezvav and Pasuk, what is it? Chaf through Chaf Beis are talking about the same thing. They're both talking about Basar Taiva. I guess he doesn't say this, but your idea would work very well according to Ibn Ezra. And Kasher Tzivisicha and Pasuk Chaf Aleph, right, refers to Pasuk Tezvav. Fine. However, it's very difficult to say that they're talking about the same thing when it sounds like these two are different. One is Ki Yarchiv Ki Yirchak, the other is not. And even though they sound the same, clearly, I mean, they're five psukim away from each other. Nobody needs to say the same thing five. Either say it more intensely together, or didn't have to break in between to refer again to Godship. Right, so it's hard to say. The Ibn Ezra has a little explanation of what he thinks, you know, why he thinks that is so. I'm not going to go into that right now. But you can look it up. That's Ibn Ezra's pshat. However, Chazal, by which I mean the Sifrei and the Gemara in Chulin, also reflected in, you know, the Chazal, more Chazal-oriented Mefarshim, as opposed to the Ibn Ezra, in other words, who can be very maverick, all suggest that these are two different topics. The first one is about psulei hamukdashim, meaning something that was kadshim, that retains some dinim of kadshim, because it's still an isra of giza and avoda. You're not allowed, if you have a karban and something goes wrong with the karban, the details are not important for right now, right? So you're still not allowed to, you know, shear the wool and use it or work the animal, because the fact that it was a korban or the remnant of what remains a korban, depending on your point of view, right, is still a factor. But on the other hand, just because there's an Isra of Gizav Avoda doesn't mean that there's an Isra of Chutz, and it doesn't mean that there's an Isra of Tuma. So according to most, according to the Sifrei, according to the Gemara in Chulin, according to, did I quote that Gemara here? According to Rashi, the Ramban, etc., they say that Pasuk Tesvav all refer to, but the Gemara in Chav Ches has this, the Gemara later on has this as well. Okay, look at Rashi, just Rashi captures it very clearly. But that costs a look at Tesvav. So what is Chav Beis talking about? That's Basar Taif. But then you have to explain the word Kasher Tzivisicha, right? It's not Kasher Tzivisicha Psulei Mokdashim, because that still has a Kadshim connotation, probably. The Rashi says, Rak Mechol Avas Nachka, but Me'a Kosev Medaber, Im Be'basar Taiva, Lahatira Lahem, Belo Akrava Seymurim. If we're talking about just, you know, Basar Chulin, regular meat that you are just, you know, you have a craving for, Harehu Omer B'Mokam Akher, and Pasuk Chaf, that's what Pasuk Chaf is about. Ki Yarchav Hashem Elokechos Gevulcha, Yomar Ta'ochla Basar, it was kadshim, and it became a bal mum. She yiftu, you have to be poda it, you have to redeem it. The yochlu b'chol makom, but then you can eat it b'chutz. Yochol yiftu al mum over tamid lo merad. Tizbach v'yachalta ein lecha b'hem heter giza v'chelev, because they do still retain either a status, or by virtue of the previous status, they had the Isra of Giza Ve'avona and Chela, El Achila Ayidei Zvicha. Hatameh V'Hatahar, Levishim Bo Mikoach Kadshim, since they are no longer fully Kadshim, but they used to be Kadshim, and they still retain some special dinim. Shenamar b'hem habasar sheyiga b'chol tamei lo yocha, and you're not allowed to eat kachim b'tilma. So chutzur chahater bo shetamei b'tahar ochlin b'kara achas. That just like you can eat a b'chut, you can also eat a b'tilma. Okay. And what about pasuk chav? Ki yarchiv, says Rashi, lim de torah derech eretz, so leis ava adam lecho basar elamitok rechava sedayim b'osher. That, you know, when a person feels, you know, good about himself, expansive, he feels successful, you know, that feeds his craving for meat. That's interesting, right? Psychologically, that's at this basis, according to a Gemara later on in Chulin. B'chol avas nafshaka aval b'midbar. What do you mean? Why? What's the chiddush here? That in the midbar nesar lahem basar chulin elim king makdisho makriv ashlam. I'm not sure if we're going to do this again or not, because maybe we just want to go straight. But there's a very, very critical Gemara in Chulin Daf Tezayno Beis Yezayno Melech. At least we'll look at the Shaka Vitaria, if not at the end of today or the beginning of next week, very quickly. I don't want to elaborate it. And that's, what was the story, what was the situation? Again, I'm talking about Abraham and Noah, and what about the Avos, right? We know it's going to be later on, meaning in our time, and since Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, we know what the laws are. But there was a little bubble period in the Midbar where they lived in the vicinity or in the framework of the Mishkan. What was the status of Achilas Basar then? So there's this incredibly important argument between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Okay? Rabbi Shmuel was of the opinion that since they lived in this proximity to the Mishkan, all they were allowed to eat was basar shlamim. Meaning anytime they wanted to eat meat, they had to bring a korban. It wasn't that big a tircha, right? But that's what they had to do. Basar taiva was us, even though it was post-Matan Torah. This is a very fascinating phenomenon. You need to understand it. We'll talk about it briefly. Right? Where do we find such a thing? You know, Matan Torah is the Rubicon. That's when all the laws change. So there's some special din in the Midbar that they couldn't eat basar taiva. Why would that be? It could be more than one explanation. But Rabbi Shmuel was of the opinion that's the pshat. Only when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. That's what it means. Ki yarchiv mimcha, ki yirchak mimcha. Right? Only then did the heter, basar taiva, begin. That's what Rashi is quoting here. Ava bamidbar nasa lehem basar chulen, elim kein magdisha makriva shlamin. Wow. Okay. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that basar taiva was always mutter. However, he thinks that the Chiddush was in the opposite direction. And that is that Basar Nechira was also permitted in the Midbar until they entered Eretz Yisrael. You could also eat meat without Shechita. Right? You didn't need Shechita. In other words, Shechita doesn't work for Chulin, mostly, according to Rabbi Shmuel. And Shechita is not necessary for Chulin, mostly, because you can get away with Nechira as well, according to Rabbi Akiva. Either tremendous chumrah or tremendous kula, depending on your point of view.
And,
I'm sorry?
What?
What can you get away with?
Basar nechira. Basar nechira means that you kill the animal, but you don't shecht it. According to Rabbi Akiva, until they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they were allowed to eat meat, right, through nechira. One line in the Gemara, I'll read it to you, maybe we'll read it next week. Nechirasa zui shchitasa. The question is what that means, you know. Right? So according to Rabbi Akiva, there was a tremendous kula in the Midbar. They could eat meat without shchita. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there was a tremendous chumra in the Midbar. They were not allowed to eat basar chulin, right? Even ayidei shkita. They can only eat karbanos. The Rambam, to make things more complicated, kind of when he formulates this halacha, kind of formulates that both are true. They could eat basar nechira, but they couldn't eat basar taiva ayidei chulin. And everybody said, what does that mean? And where does it get it from? And B, what is that? How could that be? I think it's perfect. But I'll explain that next week. Yeah.
According to Rabbi Akiva, they have to kill the animal, or
yeah, okay. Yeah. As opposed to like if it died. Yeah. Yeah. No, they have to kill it. They have to proactively.
So are those European countries that want to prohibit shechita, they hold that.
They hold that. There's no. Why should there be a difference between Matan Torah and?
It would be better.
They held like Rabbi Akiva, yeah. But they said that there's no. Well, there is a Havamin in the Gemara. The Gemara says maybe you should think that now once there's Galus, so we go back to the Midbar. So if you go back to the Midbar, Rabbi Akiva could explain those governments. I hear it. Okay. That's with Brexit or without Brexit? Okay. Anyway, so that's Rashi. But what do you do with Kasher Tzivisicha? So there's one more Rashi. Rashi says Kasher Tzivisicha quotes the Gemara later on in Chulin Daf Chaf Ches. Lamadnu sheish tzivui bezvicha heich yishchot. Hein hilchos shchita shenamru lamoshe misinai. Rashi says this is based on the Gemara. If you have the Gemara here in Chulin, I think it's Chaf Ches. Yeah. If you look here, the Gemara in Chaf Ches Amud Aleph says both of these things. Again, it's even more explicit in the Sifrei. If you look here, like four, let's see, three, six, like eight lines down, the Gemara says, quotes Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar, who said, "Ach kasher yochel es atzviva es ha'yal v'chimal amadu mitzviva ayal mi'atar is a balalame b'nim salame makish tzviva ayal l'psulei ha'mektoshim ma psulei ha'mektoshim k'shchita b'shchita av tzviva ayal b'shchita." So again, you can see he's learning those psukim, meaning pasuk tezvav, as referring to psulei ha'mektoshim, right? Then the Gemara says, "V'of ein lo shchita b'divrei Torah, elu b'divrei Sofrim, matana pali galei adrav Lazar, akafa Rebbe, the Tanya Rebbe Omer, v'zavachta this pasuk of Tesvav, or this pasuk chapes, vizavachta kasher tzivisicha, balamed shenitztava Moshe ala veshet ala kana al rov echad beof al rov shnayim bebehema. Right, this is the idea that the dinim of shechita, even though they're not spelled out in the Torah itself, that kasher tzivisicha means halacha l'moshe misicha. The Rambam says it even more explicitly in Perek Aleph of Cheshita Halacha Dalid. If you look here for a minute, but I'm going to present the Ramban and Rambam's additional view in just a second. But look at Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid, page 6, line 19. Everybody have it? Zvicha zu hu amura batora stam. Right? This zvicha, which the Torah doesn't explicate, it just uses the expression. Tzarech lefarish osa, we need to explain it. The leida, to understand, be'eza makom ena behema shochtin. How do you know what shechita is? It's complicated. Right? It doesn't just mean take a shechita knife and be creative. Right? So how do you know? Where does it say in the Torah? How does anybody know what this is? The Kamashira Shechita, right? Where's the, you know, place that you do the Shechita? How much do you, are you Shochet? Be'ezad Davar Shochatin? What kind of implement? Masai Shochatim? When? Heichan Shochatin? How? Or where, I should say? Ketzad Shochatin, right? Umahin Advar Mamafsidim as a Shechita. And what things mess up a Shechita? So, ikur and chalada and shihia, you know, all these things. Umi wa shochet, and are the requirements of who a shochet is? I mean, b'kitzur, there's a lot of details here, right? There's a lot of gemaras and a lot of mishnayos and gemaras and chulin. So, like, where did all this come from? In Torah Sheh b'ksav, it only says, and sometimes it says v'shachatu, sometimes it says v'zabachta, but we don't have any details like this. That's what he means, kasher tzivisicha mitzvah. That's fascinating, really, because this is the Rambam's, literally, he's like referring back to his Hakdama. In the Hakdama to Yad HaChazakah, the Rambam begins by quoting the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, "Va'etan chos ha'eben es haluchos es ha'mitzvah." What is it? "Asher kosafti lehorosam," or something like that, right? So, anyways, that's a pasuk in Mishpatim. The Gemara in Brachos and Hamad Aleph. It's a fascinating interpretation of that pasuk, and the Rambam bypasses it. That the Gemara says, "Oh, all these things refer to the different genres of Torah, the different chefsas shel Torah. There's Mishnah and Medrash and Talmud and Neviim and Ksuvim and Aseres Hadibros. Each one of these refers to that." Rambam begins Yad HaChazakah, the Hagdama, by quoting this pasuk, and he says, I can be quoting either one of the other midrashim, but he bypassed the Gemara. It says that basically, the esa mitzvah, v'edol lecha asuchos evan v'hamitzvah, asher kasavti l'horosam, means the combination of Torah shebitzav, right? I've given you Torah shebitzav with the interpretation of Torah shebal peh. That's what he means when he says v'nikres mitzvah, referring to that pasuk, k'moshe biarnu v'tchilas chibur zeh. That's what he says. And if I had it here, you don't happen to have. What?
No.
It didn't occur to you that I might need.
I was thinking of it, but I forgot.
So it's interesting, right? How many times in Yad HaChazakah does the Rambam refer to his Hakdama? But why is he saying it? Because I shared CV. He wants to tell you the word mitzvah or tzivui, right, doesn't have to be something that is explicit. On the contrary, he's saying the word mitzvah in the context of the pasuk of Mishpatim, as I delineate in my Hakdama, is like the whole yesod of Torah Shebichtav al pi Torah Shebaalpeh. So that's what Parshat Tzivisicha is as well. However, what's fascinating here is that both the Rambam and the Ramban, in addition to explaining, that's in the Sifrei, meaning this reference, and it's in the Gemara that I just quoted in Chaf Chesam and Aleph, they could have stopped with that. Rashi mentions it and stops with it. But they go further and they suggest that Kashrut Tzivisicha has a second meaning, which I'm going to share with you in just a second. I'll read it. First we'll look at the Ramban, and then I'll show you the Ramban says the same thing in Sefer Mitzvahs.
I think this doesn't happen often, but someone can quote Kashrut Tzivisicha or quote some sort of reference to Torah Shebaalpeh in a specific way. Does this happen often?
Why?
That the Torah will reference Torah Shebaalpeh. The Torah Shebaalpeh will reference Torah Shebaalpeh this way.
Rare, doesn't happen so often. But I'm saying the Rambam is saying that's, if you look at my keyboard, that's what the Pasuk of Mishpatim is doing. Because Ve'en Adachal Luchos Ha'Evan, Torah,
Ve'amitzvah. Learns it out from Sukkim, learns Torah Shalapet. Or just the Torah, or Talakim Hashem is saying that way, doesn't say anything.
I mean, it's not Drasha.
Right, it's not
Drasha. And these things are not learned out of Drashos. These are just Masoch.
This seems very anomalous.
Yeah, it's very. I think that's why he's telling you. You want another example of this,
yes.
Right? Look at my keyboard. Look at my Hagdama. Now, you wouldn't say that if it was my Sim Shabbat Yom.
Right.
But no, it's a good point. Okay, so look at the Ramban on Kashrut Tzivisicha. You'll see where this is headed. I mean, again, no, it's not going to be surprising, but. We're foregoing the dramatic effect, you know, for substantive comprehension. So look at the Ramban number 32 on page 5. The Tam Zavachta Kasher Tzivisicha. Those are the loaded words. Al Das Rabbo Seinu, Yei quotes Chulin Chav Kasum Dalet, right? Kasher tzivisicha al peh mehalacha l'moshe m'sinai. Again, the Gemara doesn't say the words halacha l'moshe m'sinai, right? And did Rashi say that? Those words?
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did. Okay. I think the Ramban here was influenced by the even stronger language of the Ramban. But okay. B'lamed shenistav Moshe ala veshet ala kaneh ala rov. This is a quote of the Gemara. Echad ba'ov. Rov Shnayim beBehema. Okay. Then he says, Veda ki shchita b'lashon HaKodesh hu hakaras simani hatzavar, a linguistic point. Right? Shchita means, I mean, hikares rather, simani hatzavar, sorry. It means cutting the simanim of the throat. The al tachush b'avur shomar b'yishchateim b'midbar. Sometimes the Torah uses the expression Shechita colloquially, you know, like he slaughtered them in the midbar. It means he killed them all. Right. Ki hu melitza. He rather melitza. Right. Zafako sam katzo. The melitza is, so, you know, he got rid of them, he destroyed them like as if they were tzom, that you had checked. Okay? So that's a melitza. Oh. Then it says, Behine tziva bukarbonos v'shochat, v'shochatu. In the world of Kachim, we already know Vishachat and Vishachatu. Originally in the Midbar, he's going with this Rabbi Shmuel view, right? The Shechita was also the Shechita that was motivated by Basar Taiva was actually Shechitas Kodshim. Right? Biata now, Kishibala Hatir Basar Achulin, Amar Bezavachta Mipkarecha, Umitzonecha, Kasher Tzivisicha, Biosam Karbanos, Betochal Osam Chulin Bechol Tavasav Shecha. Meaning, Kasher Tzivisicha means treat chulin when you want to eat it like kachim. Just as, even in this is a transition, basically, there is the din that you find in Parshas Bo and in Parshas Vayikra of Shechitas Kadshim, right? Then you have the din of the Midbar, which according to Rabbi Shmuel is a case where your motivation is chulin, but you can only do it through Shechitas Kadshim. And now, when we finally get to Parshas Re'eh, we talk about what will be the long term, or what will change, you know, in Knisa La'aretz, Ki Yarchiv, and Ki Yarchik, at that point, we say, Kasher Tzivi Sicha. Meaning, just like there is Shechitas Kadshim, Shechita comes from the world of Kadshim. And just like even when you wanted to eat Basar Taiba, right, you basically were forced initially to eat it B'toras Kadshim, so that we're letting up on that now. You can eat Chulin as Chulin. You don't need to be in the Mokom HaMikdash. It doesn't need to actually be a Korban. But the Shechita, Kasher Tzivisicha, which comes from that, that we demand. That's an amazing interpretation. Ubavad Shiyu Zvuchim Kasher Tziva Metchila B'yosam Kulam. He says it again. Karbanos. It's fine. You can now eat Chulin, right? But Torah Chulin, as long as the methodology is the Zvicha, right, which comes from the world of Kadshim. Zeu Pshuto Shel Mikra Ela Nachon V'Shem HaRabbo Seinu Niskavnu Bazeh. He says, maybe that's what the Sifrei itself means. Kishomru B'Sifrei Kasher Tzivisicha Ma Kadshim B'Shchita Av Chulin B'Shchita. Meaning not just, oh, you need Shchita in Kadshim, you need it in Chulin too. More than that, the Chulin needs Shchita because it comes from Kadshim. That's part of the transition, and that's part of the matir. V'hinei mitzvah sashchita mifureshes b'kan, u'mivueres midivra abaseinu b'kabbalah. What? Meaning both are true. Now remember, I don't know if we emphasize this or had the opportunity enough, but in Parshas Bereishis, and in Parshas Noach, when the Ramban weighs in on the initial Isra Vachilas Basar and the Heter and the time of the Mabel, etc., in both places, and then again, I hope we'll get a chance to look at this, in Parshas Achrimos, meaning of Vayikra, Perek Yudzayin, in all three places, the Ramban goes out of his way to elaborate on the importance of the Mitzvot Shechita. Again, in Bereishis and Noach, we're talking about, you know, the earliest of history. Right? There's no mitzvah shechita at that point. There's a heter b'achilas basar, ayidei nechira, basically. But the Ramban jumps right into shechita. He talks about birchas shechita. He talks about, you know, what meaning as if this is all what started in Bereishis, you know, the next stage of which took place in Noach. Right? I guess, and then legally, you know, the third stage, you know, was Shechitas Korban Pesach, you know, and Shechitas Kadshim. The fourth stage, you know, was in the Midbar. And then the fifth stage is ultimately, you know, what's, you know, he's writing in Devarim before it happens, but Ki Yirchak and Ki Yarchiv, right? All of that is the history, the relevant history of the Mitzvah Shechita. And what does it establish? That Shechitas Chulin is effective being Matir Basar, something that otherwise is problematic, as it was from the very beginning, right? And even the anticipation, even the earlier stages of its Heter, anticipate Shechita, because it's sanctified or enriched or upgraded by coming from the world of Kadshim. Not only the Ramban, we have to stop in a minute, but the Rambam. Look at the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot first. Yeah, Kuk Mimba. This is on page 7. HaMitzvah Kuk Mimba. Isha Tzivanu Lishkot Behim Achai Ba'oth Ba'achar Yeyochel. I'll get back to that when we finish with this next week. You know, you shecht it and then you eat it. What does that mean? Why is he saying it that way? I'm trying to emphasize the matir part of it. The Shiloyil Lehen Heter, which seems like a repetitive phrase. First he says, it's the shechita, right, which is necessary in order to eat the basar. And then he adds again, and without it, there is no heter. Seemingly a gratuitous statement. When people emphasize when they don't need to, they're either uncomfortable or, you know, they're trying to make a bigger point. They're trying to say, this is more than what it looks like, right? And by the way, there's exactly the same thing in Perek Aleph of Shechita. Overemphasizes and uses this kind of language. And again, in Perek Dalet of Shechita, when he has his fascinating Shechita about the Midbar, which I alluded to. He uses the same expression almost. V'hu amar yisalev is avachta mitkarecha mitzonecha kasher tzivisicha. Right? Those are the important words. V'lashon sifrei v'zavachta ma mukdashim b'shechita av chulin b'shechita kasher tzivisicha melamed shenitztav emosha aveshet ala karnal rov echad ba'ov arov shnayim b'vehema, etc. So what does the Rambam do? He quotes the sifrei that the Ramban also quotes. So the Ramban says, oh, maybe they means my pshat in kasher tzivisicha, right, which is v'zavachta ma mukdashim b'shechita av chulin b'shechita. Except that's why it's so ironic. If Shechita comes to Chulin from the world of Kadshim, so why does the Rambam count Shechita's Chulin and not count Shechita's Kadshim? But that's the point. You know, number one, that's the big point is, maybe it's a prat in Kadshim. It's not a din in its own right. The fact that we're taking a prat of Kadshim to be Matir Chulin, that's a mitzvah. That's a statement. That's number one. Moreover, in addition, right, dafka in kadshim, right, shechita relative to the other things has less of a requirement, right? Because zar is shochet, chutz there's shechita. So again, whether or not that's independent of all this, or you know, if you want to upgrade chulin, you know, with shechita, you know, willy-nilly, you're going to end up downgrading shechita, you know, in kadshim because of it. Maybe it's a worthwhile consequence. That's the Ribono Shel Olam's chishuv, if it isn't just two separate dinim. But there's evidence that that's really what happened here. Okay, so in Minyan HaMitzvos, let me talk a little bit about Minyan HaMitzvos for a minute. Now we talk about the makor and the relationship to kadshim. It's fascinating. I should also just contrast it. Again, the Bahag only counted kadshim. That makes sense. Like, people are troubled by it. It makes a lot of sense. The idea that, you know, shechita and kadshim is an avoda. And even if it's ksher bizarre. But in chulin, it's just the way you're matir chulin. You know, it depends how you look at it. It didn't have to be a mitzvah. Especially not in Chulin. The Urayim, interestingly enough, Rabbi Elazar Mimet, Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, counts one mitzvah of Shechita, but for both Chulin and Kadshim. It's an interesting idea. Not two mitzvos, as if to say, oh, there are two in Kadshim, you could say it's one of the avodos. There's Lashma, there's Pigol, there's all sorts of, it's a Shem Zevach, but in Chulin, it's just a way to make sure it's not in Avela anymore. It's the Torah's definition of non-nevela. No, that's not what he does. The Urayim, by counting them together, I think also seems just without the, you know, the yin and the yang and the irony part. Maybe that's what he's saying. This comes from the world of kadshim. It shares this kadshim element, and they together are one mitzvah. Right, whereas for the Rambam, you know, taking anything from kadshim, you know, even a non-avoda, that makes it a mitzvah b'chulin. Or that's the reason even why it's a non-avoda in kachim. I prefer that. It's a little more ambitious, but that's it. Maybe the idea. Okay. So there isn't a major argument then about whether shechita is counted in the minyan of taryag. There are those who count, maybe those who count both separately. There's the Reim who counts both together. There's the Bahag who counts only shechitas kachim. There's the Rambam who, and others like him, who only count shechitas kulin, except that Rambam does count also Korban Pesach. There are those who don't count anything. The Raibid, for example, seems to argue that there's no, certainly not chulin, that it's when it says v'zabachta, he says that's a lav above a klal aseh. It's just to teach you that, you know, it's just to add to the iser if you eat without shechita. But it's a, there's no mitzvah shechita because no one has to eat basar, so you don't have to shecht. But in order, when you want to eat basar, you have to shecht. Does that make it a mitzvah? Or kind of a mitzvah, minyan of mitzvahs? So that's what we have to discuss. Yeah.
But in all these counting mechanisms, the Bahag, the Rambam, there's no nafka to mean that.
What do you mean?
In the sense, whether it's one or whether it's two.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not, there are nafkaminas, whether it's a mitzvah or not, there might be nafkaminas. There's not nafkamina by virtue of the fact that it is or isn't a minyan of mitzvahs, but that's a complex but a great litmus test for understanding things. So let me explain. It's a complex litmus test because all minyan of mitzvahs issues have another side.
Another
side to them, and that is what we call the criterion side, meaning what is the threshold for counting something in the minyan of mitzvahs. There could be a debate about that, right? Do you count drabbanans? Do you count double mitzvahs? Do you count? That's one of the things we'll discuss when we finish this next week. Do you count matirim or only chiyuvim? Right? I mean, one question is, what goes into this count of 613? If we knew that for every single mafarish, then what he includes and what he omits, we'd have a clearer idea of what he thinks about those mitzvahs. Right? So whenever you, I'll say it more simply, whenever you encounter a debate, you know, about whether something should be included in minyan mitzvahs or not, there are always two ways to look at that debate. Now, of course, if you have enough of these debates, then you can isolate and you probably can figure out, based on cumulative patterns, what's going on. But it could always be one of two debates. It could be they're arguing about not the topic at hand, but the threshold for minyan mitzvahs. I'm throwing out just a simple one. Let's say there's a lav and an aseh. Typically, do you count them both, or you say, no, it's like double counting. Count one, not both. I'm not talking about what you violate. You may violate a lav and aseh, but should you count them separately in minyan mitzvahs? Right? So that's one issue. The threshold question of, you know, what goes into and what is excluded from minyan mitzvahs. There's a second question. If you could pin down the first, then maybe often the debate is really, if I know that Rishon X and Rishon Y, let's say, the Bahag and Rav Sajigo, the Rambam and Ramban have exactly, they don't, but let's say they did have the exact same criteria, what goes in the list and what doesn't. They all agree about the rules, the threshold. But they debate about some individual cases. So what are they debating about? They're debating about those things. I mean, they're debating whether or not, if somebody argues, they don't, but I'm not aware of anybody who holds it. The 39 Avos Malacha should be counted 39. You know, Daniel Abavli asked Rambam, how come your father didn't count 39 Lavin? Which I consider to be a very significant foil type question. But he doesn't. Okay? But what I'm saying is that question coming from his view, his expansive view about Minyan Mitzvos? Or is he actually saying that, in my opinion, every one of the 39 Ovos Malacha is as if it said, lo sasa this, lo sasa that, lo sasa the next thing. And you know, it sounds like you guys are saying that these are just 39 examples of a single idea. That's very consequential, conceptually. Now, usually when there are consequential conceptual arguments, they'll end up being nafgaminas, too. So maybe minyan mitzvahs may not be nafgamina. But for example, we'll talk about shechita, we'll get back to concrete things, right? There's a debate among the Rishonim if to count shechita and minyan mitzvahs, and if so, for kachim only, for chulin only, for both together, for both, you know, as one, etc., etc. Correct? So would it surprise, what if I also told you that in discussions of birchas hashechita, right, there are big discussions, you know, whether we treat it like a regular birchas hamitzvah or not. Right? Do you have to say it in advance? If you don't say it, you know, is it ma'akev the shechita? Right? If you're mafsik, if you're shechting many behemas, there's an issue that the Bali Tosis discuss, and other Rishonim later on in Chulin, pay Vav, you're shechting many animals, and you're sach bein behema le behema. Like, are the rules of Birchas HaShechita the same as Tkiyas Shofar? Right? Or, you know, Achila B'Sukkah? Or Netzilas Lulav? Is it that kind of a mitzvah? Or let's say katan, or kera shota v'katan. Right? Are they, you know, are they bechlal? Can they be shochet? I mean, they're not b'nei mitzvah. Does it matter? Is it that kind of a mitzvah? Or kavana? Go kavana. The initial the Ramban discusses. Let's say hold mitzvos trichos kavana. So is shechita really a mitzvah that needs kavana? Or let's say hold mitzvah sein shechita and mitzvah sein trichos kavana. Do you need? Is it possible you'd still need kavana and shechita? Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that there are numerous questions that are potentially dependent on whether you do this as a mitzvah or not, but also the type of mitzvah it is, and where, what, you know, is it a kachim halach? Do you need like a kli shares for shechita? That's not a mitzvah question, but that's more like, does it really, do other things come from the world of kachim? I'll just tell you one thing, but we'll stop with this because it's too late already. The Bach, right, in the beginning, very, very, very beginning of, right in the beginning, Siman Aleph of Yoredeya. So he says, I don't understand why the Mepharshim didn't just say that Vizabachta Kasher Tzivisicha refers to Kachim. Kasher Tzivisicha, but Kachim. Now again, I don't know if the Bach didn't have the Ramban or the Torah in front of him or the Sifrei and the, I get it. The Rambam and the Sefer don't say Kasher Tzivisicha, but you know this, they make this compare. The Ramban even more, right? So he says, but it's fascinating that he asked the. It's like he discovered the question. He says, say you know with Shemos and Vayikra, there's a Shechita and Karbonos. So we're saying just like in you know just like in Kachim, the Shechita and Kol the Shechita. Okay, that's a curiosity, right? An interesting thing, foil to the Ramban. But what, the reason I'm telling it to you is as follows. So he says, I'll tell you the answer. The answer is because in Kachim, the Shechita requires Lishma. And if not Lishma, maybe some sort of Kavana. But in Chulin, he says, it doesn't really require that. So that's why they didn't want to say Kasher Tzivisicha means from Kach. That's an interesting question to now ask the Ramban, who actually happens to be very sensitive to the question of Kavana, he happens to be into it. Right? So what I'm saying is, so far I'm talking about, I'm just pointing out that in the psukim, you have two psukim, or two groups of psukim, they sound the same. One is certainly talking about psukim HaMikdash. According, not even Ezra, according to Rashi, according to the Sifrei, according to the Ramban, according to the Rambam. Almost the exact same pasuk is talking about Chulin. That's also interesting. And they're both in the framework of Shechutei Chutz, of Kachim. These are the contrasts of the Kachim. The Torah couldn't find any other place to speak about Basar Taiva, or any other way to speak about Basar Taiva which doesn't practically identical to Psulei HaMukdashim, which is kind of in between. We'll see in the Rambam. Let's finish with this. I'm sorry we're a little late, but we'll finish just with the length. The Rambam is a very fascinating language. In Perek Aleph of Shechita, Halacha Aleph, he says, Mitzvah Saseh, this is on page 6, line 3, top of the page, with this we conclude. Mitzvah Saseh sheyishchot mishu yirtze lechol basar, calls it Mitzvah Saseh. Talk more next week about it. Behema chaya be'ov, yachar kach yochal. Well, that's what I was referring to, the same language. Shenemar b'zavachta mibkarecha mitzonecha, v'nemar b'b'chor balmum, ach kasher yachel esatzi v'eso ayol. What? So the Mepharshim already, you look at the Kesef Mishnah, the Lecha Mishnah, like what did he bring in b'chor balmum here? According to the Gemara, these psukim are talking about Basar Taiva. The previous pasuk could sound the same. That was talking about Psulei HaMukdashim, not necessarily Bechor Balmum, any Psulei HaMukdashim Balmum. Does the Rambam think that Pasuk Tesvav is talking about Psulei HaMukdashim and that Pasuk Chaf through Chabes is talking about Bechor Balmum and Basar Taiva at the same time? And he can't get let go of the connection to Kadshim at all, in a way, even if it's a weaker connection. There's something to all this, to these patterns. Okay, so we'll stop here. What I want to talk about is, again, the Minyan of the Mitzvot issue. A little bit about Birch HaShkita, a little bit about Basar Bamidbar, and then after that we'll go straight.